Blog Talk Radio.
To the east, they look to the west. The third world wonders which way's the best. We got freedom. Not the USA. It was so awful and we're so bad. You ought to check the nightlife and live in grass. Man, it ain't even close. It's better in the USA.
It's better in the USA.
You can see behind the curtain. Life is cold and gray.
It's better in the USA.
How can I make you understand? It's better in the USA.
It's better.
I think I'll play.
Years from now, some of them may look back and ask themselves whether they've made the right choice, whether they've made the most of the opportunities they've been given. Together, we have the same mission. Over the course of your life, you will find that things are not always fair. You will find that things happen to you that you do not deserve and that are not always warranted. But you have to put your head down and fight, fight, fight. Never, ever, ever give up. Don't give in, don't back down, and never stop doing what you know is right. Nothing worth doing ever, ever, ever came easy. And the more righteous your fight, the more opposition that you will face. In your hearts are inscribed the values of service, sacrifice, and devotion. Now you must go forth into the world and turn your hopes and dreams into action. America has always been the land of dreams because America is a nation of true believers. When the pilgrims landed at Plymouth, they prayed. When the founders wrote the Declaration of Independence, they invoked our Creator four times. Because in America, we don't worship government, we worship God. It is why our currency proudly declares, "In God we trust." And it's why we proudly proclaim that we are one nation under God. The story of America is the story of an adventure that began with deep faith, big dreams, and humble beginnings.
the next generation of American leaders. Never, ever give up. There'll be times in your life you'll want to quit. Never quit. Never stop fighting for what you believe in and for the people who care about you. Carry yourself with dignity and pride. Demand the best from yourself. The more people tell you it's not possible, that it can't be done, the more you should be absolutely determined to prove them wrong. Treat the word impossible as nothing more than motivation. Relish the opportunity to be an outsider. The more that a broken system tells you that you're wrong, the more certain you should be that you must keep pushing ahead. You must keep pushing forward. And always have the courage to be yourself. America is better when people put their faith into action. Pray to God and follow His teachings. Today, each of you begins a new chapter as well. When your story goes from here, it will be defined by your vision, your perseverance, and your grit. You will build a future where we have the courage to chase our dreams no matter what the cynics and the doubters have to say. You will have the confidence to speak the hopes in your hearts and to express the love that stirs your souls. As long as you have pride in your beliefs, courage in your convictions, and faith in God, then you will not fail. As long as America remains true to its values, loyal to its citizens, and devoted to its Creator, then our best days are yet to come. Class of 2017, may God bless the United States of America. And I just want to let you know that God blesses you. And I want to just say, you are special in every way. God bless you and God bless America. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you.
Whoa. Pretty heavy stuff there from the president graduation address. I'm not sure, that may have been Annapolis or West Point. Anyway, 2017, a couple years ago, but some strong, inspiring stuff. Never give up. And that would be my admonition to all of us in this precarious time that we live in. James Bostic, a conservative's perspective here on the Patriot Nation Radio Network at Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com. You can go there. You can find Patriot Nation Radio. You can also find it at all the links we've left all across the World Wide Web of intrigue and danger. Well, excuse me. Hope you guys had a pretty good weekend. I did. It was a long one and a hot one. Kind of a tiring one. As most of you know, I'm a Civil War reenactor. And the group that I'm affiliated with, Bryan's Battery, or the 1st West Virginia Artillery, we host a Civil War reenactment at the Greenbrier State Forest in Greenbrier County. It's called the Battle of Dry Creek, and it's a reenactment of an encounter that took place in White Sulphur Springs at the place called Dry Creek. between, let's see, what was that guy's name? Averill. William Averill and was his cavalry. It escapes me now. But been doing it for about 24 years. It was the very first Civil War reenactment I ever went to. And for the last six or seven years, I've been privileged and honored to be the event commander with our artillery battery, our reenactment group, hosting the event. It's not a big, hairy deal. It's about 100, 120 people tops. But we have a really good time. And I have a good time putting that thing on. And we had, when the weather was cooperative, thanks to Tim and Melissa and Tony Floyd and members of the Kanawha Artillery for pitching in and bearing a hand with us. And through that group effort, I think we all had a pretty good weekend and can't wait till next year. Of course, we have another one coming up here in a few weeks in October at Droop Mountain, and that's going to be a bang up time for sure. Well, there's a lot of things going on that obviously you don't get out of the mainstream cats because it flies in the face of what they want to sell you. I apologize if I sound a little rough. I always am after one of these events because I spend a lot of time screaming at people and I spend a lot of time yelling at people and breathing black powder fumes, which is, that's like victory. There's nothing better on earth than pulling the lanyard on a 10-pound ordnance rifle and having the exhaust of those muzzle fumes blow back into your face. That's America, my friends. That is victory. The Democrat Party has got a lot of problems right now. And I don't see them getting any better on any front. The presidential campaign, it is to laugh. And the internecine struggle that's going on between all the different fringe elements. See, what's happening now, we're reaching this nexus, this point of intersectionality between all these different groups. The Occupy Wall Street groups, the Antifa groups, the Black Lives Matter groups, the LGBTQ, and they have a bunch of different factions within that group. There are a bunch of different splinter factions that aren't getting along in the rainbow community. And we're reaching this point, like I said, this point of intersectionality where all this stuff is coming together. Because for decades, the left, the progressive left, the communist left, has been pandering to, and it's not unusual, that's what politicians do, they pander. Okay, what if, you know, when the politician is not, when they're not kissing the baby, they're picking dad's wallet. So it's not unusual for politicians to pander. It is unusual for leaders to pander, but it is not unusual for politicians to pander. And there are a number of politicians on the non-liberal left, the progressive communist left, that do this. They've pandered to the various gay groups. They've pandered to the Black Lives Matter. They've pandered to minorities. They've pandered to the illegal aliens. They've pandered to the Occupy Walls. They've pandered to everybody. They've told everybody, you guys are so special. There's nobody else like you in the world. and no one else is going to understand you the way I do. I'm your buddy. I'm your friend. I'm going to look out for you. These other guys, they've been stepping on your rights, bud. I know you're just a victim. You can't help it. There's nothing you can do. You're a little guy. They don't care about the little guy, see? But me, hey, I used to be a little guy too. I know what it's like. So that's why you and all your gay friends, or all your black friends, or all your minority friends, or all your illegal alien friends that are voting, or all your anti-Semitic Muslim friends, that's why you need to vote for me. I got your back, man. I'm going to hook you guys up. And what was it they said in another great, one of my favorite movies, The Incredibles. Yeah, I know. Shut up. You know, the villain said, you know, I'm going to give everybody superpowers. Basically, that was his idea to, you know, because there were these people on Earth that had superpowers. And he said that way, if everybody's special, no one is. And I'm just wondering when the gays, when the minorities, when the illegal aliens, when the Black Lives Matter, when the Antifa types, when all these guys, the BDS types, and by the way, that is boycott, divest, and sanction, not bondage, discipline, and spanking. Well, if you don't put it out there, you're going to get somebody that's going to embarrass themselves. So, all these people. And it's going to come down to some point where all these groups who have been told that they're special, that they're unique, that they're one of a kind, they're going to see some food on their plate. They're going to want to know, okay, what about us? When do we get what you promised us? And the fact of the matter is, they're never going to get what they've been promised. Nobody does. They'll be given scraps. They'll be given lip service. They'll be given a few things. That'll be the end of the story. So we have this in play. And on one side, you have the old guard. You have the Steny Hoyers. You have the Nancy Pelosi's, the Chuck Schumer's, the Barbara Boxers, the Dianne Feinstein's, the Bernie Sanders's. You've got all these dinosaurs, these fossils. Just about every name I named there is 70 or over. The old guard, the peg leg Pete's. And then on the other side, the radical left, the extreme, the socialist communist wing of the Democrat Party. Did you ever think you would hear that? Democrat Party, socialists, communism, all being lumped together as one thing. What do you think John Kennedy would think about that? Or Harry Truman? Or Hubert Humphrey? Hell, for that matter, Lyndon Johnson. He was a racist, but he was no communist. What would they think? So you have these factions, and like I said, you've got those four those four chicks, Ocasio-Cortez, the Butt Sisters. Okay, you got Alexandra Butt, you got Rashida Butt, you got Ilan Butt, and you got Ayanna Butt. And the Butt Sisters, the Butt Sisters are throwing their weight around on the extreme left. And they got everybody dancing to their tune. So on the left side, the extreme left side of her conference, Nancy Pelosi, that is, that's run by the so-called squad, several of Nancy Pelosi's top deputies, in other words, several committee chairs in the House of Representatives, are being faced with primary challenges. Now, what's that mean? Well, that means that Rashida Tlaib and the Butt Sisters, Rashida Butt and the other Butt Sisters, have gotten together with like-minded comrades, fellow communists, and they're going to run as Democrats against these committee chair people who are Nancy Pelosi's, you know, that's her squad. Those are her boys. All right, that's her family. And if during those primaries the Socialist Democrats of America are sending these guys to run in the districts of Nancy Pelosi's allies, and Nancy Pelosi's allies lose, then that means that another Socialist Democrat is going to be assigned to these committees. See what I mean? As a matter of fact, seven of Nancy Pelosi's top confidants, committee chairs, potentially, you know, they have to deal with this. So you have these primary challenges that now, with all the other things that Democrats, that the Nancy Pelosi Democrats have to worry about, you have the left and the extreme left. So the left, which would be the left of anything reasonable, that's Nancy Pelosi. And then the left of anything left of Nancy Pelosi are the Butt Sisters and their gang. So that's how far over to the left we've gotten. With the Inspector General's report coming out shortly, with the unraveling of this Russia collusion hoax, with their nonstop hatred and nonstop hatred of the president, and their nonstop attempts at obstructing his agenda, his mandate, he's doing the things that people put him in office to do or trying to do. Now they have to worry about the Socialist Democrats making inroads into their committees. And you know what, folks? We might ought to start worrying about that too. Now, these people are crackpots. They're Fruit Loops. They're moon bats, whatever you want to call them. But so are the Butt Sisters, and they're in Congress. Look at how crazy they are. Look at how crazy Rashida Tlaib is, Ilhan Omar, Ayanna Pressley. Fruity is a nutcake. But they're in Congress. And they're shaking up the Democrat Party. And Nancy Pelosi isn't necessarily, I don't want to say she's on the skids. She's been around a long time. And I'm sure that there are probably some mutually assured destruction scenarios that she can bring about to where, okay, Butt Sisters, if you're going to take me out, I'm taking you out too. let's all go dance with the devil together. And, you know, she pushes some button and all hell breaks loose. You're not going to hear about this on MSNBC. You're not going to hear about this on CNN or any of the other alphabet network. You're not going to hear about this on Fox News either. But you're going to hear about it here. Because these things that we talk about now, and we've talked about the disastrous, the Titanic, the clown car Titanic list of the Democrat presidential candidates, their positions, what they say. And again, it's just another instance of everybody trying to out-left the other. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to open the bet with universal health care. Joe? All right, Corey. I'll see you universal health care. I'll raise you free college tuition for everybody. Marianne? I'll see your free college tuition for everybody, and I'll raise you cancellation of all student debt for all time for everyone. And just on and on and on. The crap these guys are talking about doing, it's impossibilities. So they're going to be staggering. Going into a campaign, going into a national presidential campaign, they're going to be staggering with all the damage that has been created by this infighting, by all these different intrigues that are going on, all this jockeying for position between, like I said, the old people, Nancy Pelosi, the old crazy people, and the young crazy people. Honestly, I don't know which, you know, what's to be wished for here. Oh, well. I think we wound up talking about that enough. Let's go ahead and get some music. Feeling a little on the dry side. I need to get something to drink. So we're going to find some things to listen to. This is a conservative's perspective. You're listening to it right here on Patriot Nation Radio Network at blogtalkradio.com. Blog Talk Radio. Go ahead, I guess. We'll be back after this.
The wind blew some luck in my direction. Caught it in my hands today. I finally made a tricky French connection. You winked and gave me your okay. I'll take you on a trip beside the ocean and drop the top of Chesapeake Bay. Ain't nothing like the sky to dose a potion. The moon will send you on your way. Feels right. Moonlight. Feels right. We'll lay back and observe the constellations and watch the moon smiling bright. I'll play the radio on Southern Station, 'cause Southern bells are hell at night. You say you came to Baltimore. I'm giving you a warning, 'cause me and Luna isn't to play. I'll take you on a trip beside the ocean and drop the top of Chesapeake Bay. Ain't nothing like the sky to do the potion. The moon will send you on.
To me, trying to run me up a quick so you can buy it, go try it, you can pay me next week. Too much monkey business. Too much monkey business. Too much monkey business for me to be involved in. Blonde haired, good looking, trying to get the hook, want me to marry, settle down and get a home and write a book. Too much monkey business. Too much monkey business. Too much monkey business for me to be involved in. Pay phone, something wrong, dime gone, will me order, sue the operator for telling me a tale. Too much monkey business. Too much monkey business. Too much monkey business for me to be involved in.
Brethren and sisters, be seated. Gather round me, everybody. Gather round me while I preach some. Feel a sermon coming on me. The topic will be sin, and that's what I'm against. If you wanna hear my story, then saddle back and just sit tight while I start reviewing the attitude of doing right. to accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative, and latch on to the affirmative. Don't mess with Mr. In-Between. You got to spread joy up to the maximum. Bring gloom down to the minimum. Have faith or pandemonium liable to walk upon the scene. To illustrate my last remark, Jonah in the whale, Noah in the ark. What did they do just when everything looked so dark? Man, they said we better accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative, and latch on to the affirmative. Don't mess with Mr. In-Between. No, don't mess with Mr. In-Between.
Sometimes. Welcome back. And I am absolutely positive. I'm glad to be here. James Bostic, Conservative's Perspective, here on the Patriot Nation Radio Network at blogtalkradio.com. We do this live, and apparently tonight sporadically at that, Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We also have a recorded version of the program that goes out Sundays at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Mojo 50 Radio, Mojo50.com. I mean, they've got apps all over the place, so that's not the iHeart, Spotify, Pandora's Box, the whole deal. But you can go to Mojo50.com also, and you can go to the show lineup, and you can listen to them in their archive format, or you can listen to them live as they're going in the rotation there at Mojo50.com. Not dead air. I'm here. That, you know what? It just happens sometimes. I've got some, as promised, you know, we talked a little bit about Nancy Pelosi, and now we're going to talk about Hydra a little bit. What's he talking about? Check out the Winter Soldier. Yeah, I know. Captain America. Super, right. Check it out. You'll see what I mean when I talk about Hydra. Because that's what I like to call the deep state. A good example of kind of the territory that we're getting ready to move into. And I know we had a little problem with that. You were able to step into the breach and pick something to play while I figured out what the hell was going on. Another one of the screw-ups I made tonight was when I was programming the show. I programmed it for 120 minutes. We're not going to go all 120, but we will go into extra innings as far as ACP is concerned, because some stuff I want to cover tonight, and now we can just go ahead and do it, and that's what's going to happen. We've talked a lot. Oh, man. 259. about the whole collusion thing. We've been talking about it. We've talked a lot about it, and we've talked a lot about it for a long time. And it's a very, very complicated, multi-tiered, convoluted puzzling, enigmatic, really tough to figure out deal, because it's on so many different levels and there's so many different people involved and it takes place all over the world. I swear to God, it's like Spectre. It's like James Bond needs to be here to figure out what the hell's going on. And there's so much of it. And there have been a lot of people that have been really working on this story. I mean, they've a lot of good reporters, a lot of people. I mean, this thing has been going on for so long now that people have written books on it. Yeah. Seriously, I mean, this has gone on for a couple, almost 3 years now. And we're still dealing with, you know, whatever this is in this vacuum of what we're calling the aftermath. But really all we're seeing is the conspiracy as it's failing. Because it's multi-pronged. It's, again, like Hydra, you know, there's more than one head here. There's a lot of different things happening. And one of the things that was happening that they're looking at now had to do with the early days of the Trump campaign. And it had to do with a guy named George Papadopoulos, and he was a mid-level Trump guy. And I've got some, where it is, let me find it. Yeah, okay. I've got some audio. This is John Solomon, one of the reporters. He's a reporter from The Hill, which is a, you know, Washington scandal sheet. But he's a pretty serious guy. He's done a lot of work on this with Sarah Carter and Greg Jarrett from Fox News. I mean, it is a whole host of really good journalists out there that have been doing some stuff on this, and they're deserving of our attention because they know what's going on. This is, I think, from Sunday on Rita Bartiromo's show. John Solomon, not long, about a 4 minute clip, but it talks about those early days of what's going on, and then we'll expound upon it after Johnny says what he's got to say.
He made his case in an opinion piece for The Hill that you see right here. I want to bring in John Solomon, his opinion contributor for The Hill. And John, your most recent op-ed, it is great to have you on the show and your great reporting on this subject. Your most recent op-ed goes through this triangle of people that were feeding information into the FBI. Tell us about it.
Absolutely. We used to have the Bermuda Triangle. Now we have the Fusion GPS Triangle. One corner, you got Christopher Steele, a British intelligence agent desperate to influence the election because he's desperate to defeat Trump. He's also being paid by Hillary Clinton. Then you've got Nellie Orr, the wife of a senior Justice Department official, being paid by the same firm, Fusion GPS, on the same project to find Russia dirt on Trump. And then the last corner, you got Glenn Simpson, the founder of Fusion GPS and a contractor for Hillary Clinton. In the middle of those three is Bruce Orr, senior Justice Department official, taking highly uncorroborated, highly partisan, highly conflicted information and getting it to the top of the FBI and Justice Department, and nobody saw a problem with that.
All because they just didn't like him, and they just didn't want him as president, so they decided to come up with a scheme to actually spy on American citizens. Do you think John Durham is aware of all of this? Where is that investigation today?
That's a great question. I think Senator Graham did a good job of describing what the IG is doing. I am hearing that John Durham and Bill Barr focused on the part before the FBI officially got started on July 31st, 2016, the period of March to July, and whether intelligence assets, Western, private, or U.S., were deployed in an earlier effort to start probing the Trump campaign and its Russia ties, maybe lay the breadcrumb trail of evidence that Christopher Steele then collected up and gave to the FBI. That's where I think when you heard the term the other day from the Attorney General, I believe there was political surveillance going on. I think that's what he's referring to.
Yeah, and this is all we know, that there were informants thrown at certain Trump campaign people like George Papadopoulos. Papadopoulos has been on this program, and he told me directly on this show that Mitzvah was the guy that they wanted him to meet in Italy. He had this job at the Center for Law, International Law, and they said, oh, don't quit yet to go work for Trump. We want to send you to Rome. We want you to meet Mr. Joseph Mifsud. That is the individual who told him Russia has emails of Hillary Clinton. Why is that important, John?
Well, I interviewed Mr. Mifsud's lawyer the other day, Stefan Rowe, and he told me, and he also provided some deposition evidence to both Congress and myself, that his client was being directed, had long worked with Western intelligence, and he was being directed specifically, he was asked to connect George Papadopoulos to Russia, meaning it was an operation, some form of an intelligence operation. That was the lawyer's own words for this. If that's the case, that means that the flashpoint that started the whole investigation was in fact manufactured from the beginning.
Manufactured from the beginning. In other words, they put this guy Mifsud on George Papadopoulos. He drops a bomb on his lap saying, yeah, Russia has emails, with hopes that Papadopoulos goes and tells Trump and starts getting them involved in a conspiracy. Meanwhile, he's working for Western intelligence. Mifsud is.
That's what his lawyer says. And I know both John Durham and two members of two different committees in Congress have recently reached out to get this evidence from the lawyer, which includes an audio tape deposition that Mr. Mifsud gave his lawyer before he went into hiding. So there's a lot of evidence that can be combed through. We can get to the bottom of this, but I think the Barr-Durham investigation is looking much more intensively at a period that hasn't gotten much scrutiny in the American public, and that's that March to July time frame.
Real quick, same question I asked Lindsey Graham. Who do you think is the mastermind? One word, real quick.
I think the CIA, we have to take a closer look at them. We're starting to see some sign of it.
We will leave it there. John Salmon, good to see you.
Okay. Now, just to go back on this, according to an interview granted by the lawyer for this guy, Joseph Mifsud, who is a CIA guy, all right, they call him an intelligence asset. He's a CIA guy, all right, he's working, he's a spy, all right. And he admits that he is a spy. And that's not all that he is admitting to. He is also admitting that as a Western intelligence asset or spy, he was part of a CIA intelligence operation against presidential candidate Donald Trump back in March 2016. March 2016. Now, what he describes, he says he's got this deposition, an audio recorded deposition, audio tape deposition from Joseph Mifsud prior to vanishing himself. Now, why would Joseph Mifsud do this? I don't know. Jeffrey Epstein much, people? So, yeah, it's assisted suicide prevention. So it's leverage, you see. He doesn't want to get killed. You know, he doesn't want to have somebody commit suicide on him. So he's set this up. So he's talked about. Now, we don't know what's in the deposition. Solomon does, but obviously, you know, he's probably bound not to say anything. And if committees in Washington have access to it as well as the Attorney General's men that are looking into this, William Barr's guys, well, he can't say anything. But what he's describing would fall into play with the CIA leaking all this stuff about Mifsud to the Washington Post back in July. Now, in the synergy, in the intercourse between the United States intelligence operations, the various departments, and their media agents, the CIA and Department of Justice and the State Department have specific outlets that are assigned for nothing else but public relations. And what I mean by that, they've paid attention to the leaks, and a long-tracked pattern reflects that the Department of Justice and the FBI, when they want to leak their leaks, they leak to the New York Times. Now, when it comes to the State Department and they want to leak something, it's CNN. And the CIA is usually the first one to come out with leaks carrying the water for the CIA. And that pattern, according to our friends Sundance over at Conservative Treehouse, has been remarkably consistent for many, many years. So, against this backstory of the oncoming revelations about the intelligence community and their activity in the 2016 election, all of a sudden in July, the Washington Post, seemingly out of nowhere, pushes a newspaper article intended to try and diffuse and marginalize the issues around Western intelligence asset Joseph Mifsud. Now, something must be happening in the background that we don't know about yet, that has people, the higher-ups at any rate, at the Central Intelligence Agency worried about maybe possible exposure of their wrongdoing and, of course, their image. And this article is published at a time when now, okay, 2-3 years after the fact, we're finding out the role that Joseph Mifsud played. We're finding out that he was a Western intelligence asset for the CIA. You know, we're finding all these things out. So what the CIA does is, okay, man, we got to come up with some kind of bullshit story to get the heat off of us, man. And so that's what they do. And they come up with this story. And it's like it was so unpredictable and it was from so out of nowhere, because again, whatever these things are that are prompting the CIA to leak to the Post, stories that are designed to obfuscate, to throw up smoke, or to redirect, or misinform. People at the CIA are worried. So they're trying to manipulate the narrative, and they're trying to basically throw up smoke and cloud the fact that the evidence is clear that when Joseph Mifsud approached George Papadopoulos, I think it was in Rome, and said, "We have dirt on Clinton." It wasn't because Joseph Mifsud decided one day out of a sense of righteousness to help the Trump campaign defeat Hillary Clinton. He was directed to do this. He was directed by some entity other than himself. But here's the thing. If he walks like a counterintelligence agent, acts like a counterintelligence agent, sounds like a counterintelligence agent, hangs out with other counterintelligence agents, has admitted to engagements on behalf of intelligence agencies, has trained U.S. FBI agents in conducting counterintelligence operations, and generally has a history of, I don't know, say, counterintelligence agent behavior, well, he ain't just some academic from Malta. So what's up? Why, back in July, out of a clear blue sky, was the Washington Post trying to get out in front of Joseph Mifsud? Well, not dead air. More than likely, it's because someone in the background, probably Attorney General William Barr, through the efforts of John Durham, is looking at the connective tissue, so to speak, between John Brennan's instructions. John Brennan. Oh, Johnny, you thought I forgot about you, pal? No. No, John. Anyway, Brennan's instructions in 2015 and 2016 and John Brennan's electronic communication results to the FBI in July of 2016 that kicked off the counterintelligence operation against then presidential candidate Donald Trump. And it was known as Crossfire Hurricane. You know, I would just love to have these cats one time. You know, they always have some kind of crazy name, right? Desert Storm, Desert Shield, Iraqi Freedom, Enduring, Johnson's Glow Coat. I just, one time I wish they would just come up with a name, just name it what it is. Operation blah, 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 yakety schmackety. And just, so anyway, it was John Brennan, head of the CIA at this time in the Obama administration. John Brennan's head of the CIA. Have I mentioned to you all that in 1976, John Brennan voted for the Communist Party USA's candidate, Gus Hall, for president? Did you know that? I thought maybe I'd pointed that out at one time or another. Yeah. And again, I've yet to get an answer to this question. How the hell does a guy who votes for a Communist Party presidential candidate wind up head of the Central Intelligence Agency, mother of pearl? So, Mifsud, after all this stuff has happened, is out of town. They don't know where he's at. Nobody's seen him. I'm sure somebody's seen him. Maybe a couple of people have talked to him, but he's laying low. Real, real low. Now, we hear all these words thrown around, and I want to go back again. This guy, Joseph Mifsud, he is what he is, okay? He's a spy. Yeah, his cover is he's some kind of bookworm professor from the island of Malta. And this doesn't mean that he's, you know, like Arnold Schwarzenegger in True Lies. He's not going to jump out of a third-story building onto a horse and then dropkick some dude on a Kawasaki crotch rocket and then swing down off of a light pole and drive off in a little French lay car. It's on two wheels. No, I mean, this is his cover. So he is what he is. But he's also a counterintelligence. He's a spy. The CIA, the Central Intelligence Agency, the intelligence agency whose roots go back to the brave and gutsy you-know-whats to the you-know-where guys of the Office of Strategic Services, the OSS, from the Second World War. The CIA, who was supposed to have been keeping us safe from our foreign enemies, from the communists, from the subversives, who wished to do us ill. We're using their guys, their spies, as part of an intelligence operation against a legitimate presidential candidate. Now, the CIA has a lot of cowboys in its ranks, guys that will go off and do stuff. And, you know, I think to a certain extent, through present popular culture and past historic exploits, like I said, of those fellows in the OSS, you know, there are a lot of cowboys in this line of work, and I'm sure you got to be pretty flexible. But, guys, as we have surmised, lo, these many months, that John Brennan, that commie SOB, was responsible for initiating the CIA operation against Donald Trump. Now, as time goes on, this is going to be borne out to be truth. It's going to be borne out to be solid. John Brennan did not just wake up one day and say to himself, by God. Well, he probably didn't say by God because he's a godless communist. 1976, remember? He probably said, by Lenin, I just can't let that capitalist pig Donald Trump become president of the United States. And things are looking, you know, look at him. He loves his country. He's a great guy. Everybody likes him. He's a billionaire. And over here we got Hillary Clinton. Yeah. Okay, so I've got to do something. I've got to do something to stop this man from ruining Hillary's chances. And therefore, vouchsafing my own prosperity. Because the Hildebeest will reward. And that's what he did. But he didn't take it upon himself to do it. He set it in motion. Absolutely. He implemented this operation. But again, it wasn't like he woke up one day and said, by God, today's the day we do this. We're going to get her done. We're going to take this cat down, and we are going to put in who we want in, and that's Hillary Clinton. John Brennan did not say that. Just like Joseph Mifsud was directed to do what he did by an entity other than himself, John Brennan was directed to do what he did by an entity other than himself. Well, who is above the director of Central Intelligence Agency? Well, in this case, there's a couple of guys. Shortly after 9/11, and it was during the Bush administration, shortly after 9/11, they were trying to figure out how did this get past us? These guys trained to fly these airplanes here in the United States. They used American equipment. They used and they learned how to fly these planes into the Pentagon and into the World Trade Towers. And what they found was that there was such severe compartmentalization amongst the various members of the intelligence community that they came up with this idea for like a clearinghouse where reports and intelligence and various other types of analytical data would come from the various members of the intelligence community into the Office of the Director of National Intelligence. Now, during the time that commie SOB John Brennan was director of the CIA, the man running the Office of the Director of National Intelligence was Admiral James Clapper. And if Clapper told John Brennan to do it, John Brennan would do it. However, James Clapper wouldn't tell John Brennan to do that unless somebody told him to do that. Now, ultimately, there's only one other person at the top of this totem pole who's going to tell Jim Clapper to pass the word over to the CIA and that commie SOB, John Brennan. 76. To go ahead and start this thing. Operation Crossfire, Enduring Hemorrhoid, whatever. And they do. So John Brennan didn't do this on his own. Just as Joseph Mifsud didn't do his own. He was directed. As John Brennan was directed. As James Clapper was directed. As James Comey was directed. Okay, so you have the head of the FBI, the head of the CIA, the head of the Office of the Director of National Intelligence. Movers and shakers, people, heavyweights. And there's only one cat heavier in this lineup, and you know who it is. It's the same guy that's been so quiet here the last few weeks. We haven't heard much from him. Not at all. Now, that's a lot of crap to digest. It really is. But here's what it means. If Mifsud, and all things being equal, we're going to take Maltese professor / counterintelligence, Western counterintelligence operative, Joseph Mifsud, at his word, that he is indeed a Western intelligence asset, that he does work for the CIA. That he was, you know, directed to do these things. And we don't, again, John Solomon, apparently, according to this interview, has heard at least portions of this deposition, as have certain committees in Washington, D.C. So people are getting it. We're not, but people are getting in the know. Who's that guy? Who's the only guy who has the juice beyond Brennan, beyond Comey, beyond Clapper at the ODNI, beyond whoever at that time would have been Secretary of State, John F. and Kerry, I think. You know who it is. We all know who it is. We keep waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting on the Inspector General's report. Now, you know, this is the second, and apparently was going to be a series. We can also expect a cutout report from this most recent one that's supposed to be released, I think, maybe late September. Maybe. See, the thing about this is it's so huge, it's so convoluted, and it's just an ongoing story. Almost every day, practically, every week, some new detail, some new bubble erupts, and we have to go, geez. And the inspector general is probably going, man, I'm never going to get done. And he's just got this giant stack of papers, and he's writing all this stuff out. But it's supposed to be in October, so late September, early October. Look for these things in the news. Look for Mifsud to continue to be played as a nothing and a nobody, a patsy, being used by the other side to smear the good name of John Brennan and the CIA. It's going to be something like that. John Brennan's going to come out at first, and he's going to decry the whole thing, as he has done consistently. But I expect in the future, his comments are going to be considerably more muted and more subdued. We're not really hearing a whole lot of him or Jim Clapper right now. Same thing with James Comey. They're going to make noise periodically, and there are going to be eruptions, and they're going to feel that they must comment in order to keep up, you know, whatever this facade is, you know, this role that they're playing out, this hand that they're playing. So they're probably going to bluff their way out or try to. But don't expect to hear too much from them as we have in the past. When this collusion thing and this conspiracy was going great guns and Rachel Maddow had a million plus people a night watching her and everybody was tuned in to the, you know, this is it. Let me find that. Exactly. You know, and and now, Nothing. Have you heard anything of the collusion thing? Beyond what we cover, beyond the revelations that we're finding concerning the conspiracy, is Jerry the Jowls? Is he Is he saying anything? Is he having anybody come on his committees? What about the Senate committees? Are they doing anything? For 2 years, this is what we heard.
Donald Trump's done. He's done. There's no question about that. He's done.
Breaking news.
A bombshell.
Today is a turning point. Today was historically bad for President Trump.
Today was a turning point.
A turning point.
We're at a turning point here.
The beginning of the end for the Trump presidency.
The beginning of the end.
And breaking news.
We have another bombshell.
Mike Pence might have to assume the office of the presidency.
The call for impeachment.
Rumblings of the word impeachment.
Breaking news.
Another bombshell out of the White House.
I believe this is the beginning of the end.
I do too.
It's really the beginning of the end.
The beginning of the end.
He may be feeling the walls closing in on him.
All the walls closing in on him.
The walls closing in on him.
Breaking news, a new bombshell.
One astrologer says this means the beginning of the end for President Donald Trump.
The beginning of the end of the Trump presidency.
Trump will resign.
Trump is going to resign.
Is this the tipping point? I know we've said it over and over.
You think this is a tipping point?
And over and over.
This is a tipping point.
And over and over.
Breaking news, President Trump off the rails.
It was the beginning of the end today.
The beginning of the end.
It reminds me a lot of the last days of Nixon.
Breaking news tonight, new bombshell.
This is the beginning, not the end.
The beginning of the end.
The walls are closing in.
The beginning of the end of his first term. In the beginning of his second. For 2 years, all these cats have been selling us this stuff. And Comey and Clapper and that commie SOB John Brennan have been some of the guys that have been shoveling the fastest. And the most. I don't know. And it may be, you know, we make the claim and we say it so cynically or we say it so pessimistically. We got a two-tier system of justice. And that's not what we're supposed to have. We are all, every one of us, to be equal under the eyes of the law. No man above it, no man beneath it. All alike. But we don't see a whole lot of that. And the higher we get up with those heels that walk the halls of power, we see even less of it. And not only do we see less of it, we see a disdain, a blatant disregard for the wrongness of individuals' actions. Look at Hillary and Bill Clinton. Look at all the crap they've done. Literally, not figuratively, actually, a trail of dead bodies have fallen in their wake. I'm not saying they killed them. I'm just saying they know a lot of dead people. We've already been through that. Look at all the stuff they've done. Look at all the shady deals. Look at the treason. Look at Seth Rich. For that matter, look at Jeffrey Epstein. Do they ever look like they've done anything wrong? You know, to me, they don't even look like they've lost sleep. Except for Bill sweating it out over some 13-year-old girl somewhere with Jeffrey Epstein down on that island. But you know, they don't look bothered by any. The justice that they deserve will never be meted out to them here. Not in this place. it's going to call, they're going to have to go to the highest authority for that kind of judgment and for the consequences that have to be rendered on that. But as far as justice down here, no, I don't think they got to worry a whole lot. And I don't think they really care about being convicted in the court of public opinion, because public opinion ain't going to put you in a jail cell. All public opinion is going to do is keep you from selling tickets to your speaking dates on your tour across the country. Public opinion carries with it no clang of a steel door closing that Hillary Clinton can't open up. Okay, I guess that's probably about enough for right now. ACP's heard here twice, Tuesdays and Thursdays live, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Patriot Nation Radio Network. But you can go to blogtalkradio.com and you just type in Patriot Nation Radio Network and you can find us pretty easy. And we've got links thrown out all over the place, posted on Facebook. Join us. Tell your friends. Thank you, all of you, who tune in and listen. There's no you, there's no us. So thank God and God bless you. I think that's about all we're going to do. We'll be back here on Thursday looking at it again, and who knows what's going to be going on. It's only 2 days away, I know, but the way the news cycle's been in the last couple of years, there's always something happened, so we'll find something to get into and talk about. Until Thursday, 7 p.m., this coming Thursday, you guys take good care of yourselves, and we'll be back taking a look at things. As we do through a conservative perspective, God bless you. God bless America.